to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 14. Book of Matthew, chapter 14. We've preached from this chapter many, many, many times. There's so much here. I'd like to read verses 22 through verse 34. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him and unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. When the even was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. Again, what we read here is very familiar. It follows one of the most remarkable of Christ's miracles, the feeding of well over 5,000 with five loaves and two fishes. Following that miracle, verse 22, Jesus prevails upon the apostles to get into a ship, cross over the Sea of Galilee, and he would send the multitudes away, the multitudes that he had just fed. We read in John 6 and verse 16, And when the even was now come, his disciples went down into the ship. That would have been about 6 o'clock in the evening that they got in that ship, when the even was come. That's the first watch. We see that after Jesus sent the multitudes away, that he went into a mountain to pray. There's a message there as well. But our text is the account of what transpired while these apostles were on their way across the Sea of Galilee. What we see here is a real event. What we see here is something that literally happened. It is, of course, filled with many valuable lessons and many encouragements for you and I. In this message, we want to view the account as an example and an encouragement to spiritual advancement. In the account, we have before us a child of God in natural elements experiencing the supernatural. That is our opportunity every day. Before us in this count is a child of God doing what cannot be done naturally. Before us in this count is an example and encouragement of a child of God moving to and living in a higher spiritual realm. I want to speak this morning on moving to and living in the next level. And as we look at our text, we need to ask and carefully examine ourselves. Where am I in this picture? In fact, it would be good every time we read the Bible to ask ourselves that question. Where am I in this picture. First of all, consider the setting of the story. The story is set in the Sea of Galilee, and there is a storm. The Sea of Galilee, also referred to in the New Testament, has Lake Gennesaret, and the Sea of Tiberias is 13 miles long, 8 miles wide at its widest point, 64 square miles total, a maximum depth of 141 feet. We read in verse 24 that the ship was now in the midst of the sea. So we see their location. And from John's account, John 6, verse 19, we learn that in order to get to that point, they rowed between 25 and 30 furlongs, or 3 to 3.5 miles. So we know that they are 3.5 miles from shore in the middle of the sea. They got in the boat around 6 o'clock when the even was come. We see that this rowing would have taken place between the hours of 6 o'clock and 9 o'clock. In other words, it took them about 3 hours to get to that point. Mark records in Mark 6, verse 47, "And when the even was come," that's the first watch, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., "the ship was in the midst of the sea." So in that 3 hour span, the first watch, they arrive in the midst of the sea, 3 to 3.5 miles out. We read in verse 24 that while they were in the midst of the sea, the ship was tossed with waves. Now, sudden storms were very, very common on the Sea of Galilee. But the storm they are now in is described throughout the gospel accounts and serves as a picture, of course, of our own trials, but it also can serve as a picture of the world and the times in which we live. We read in John 6 and verse 17, "And it was now dark." They're in the midst of the sea, and it was now dark. "And Jesus was not come to them." So it was a time of darkness. It was a time of loneliness. And this is a dark world, and it can be lonely for the child of God. In John 6, verse 18, we read, "And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew." That phrase, "great wind," speaks of the extent and the force of the wind. It speaks of an extraordinary wind. And there is an extensive force at work in this world and the times in which we live. We learn that due to the wind, again, John 6, verse 18, the sea arose, and in our text in verse 24 of Matthew 14, they were tossed. They were flung and hurled with the waves. In other words, the Sea of Galilee was unstable. It was unsettled. It was agitated. It was violent. It was chaotic. And all was seemingly out of control. And so it is today with the world and the times in which we live. Also in our text in verse 24, we read, "For the wind was contrary." Mark records the same thing in Mark 6 and verse 48. So the surrounding winds and the waves that resulted from the winds were an opposing force to these apostles. They were an obstacle. It was a difficulty to the apostles. And there is today an extensive and opposing force at work in this world and in the times in which we live. So with the apostles in the midst of the sea, there is this relentless storm. Again, the journey began in the first watch. They arrived in the midst of the sea during the first watch. But in verse 25 of our text, it is the fourth watch. and in the fourth watch of the night. So now we're in the fourth watch. So the first watch is passed from 9 p.m. to 12 p.m. or 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. The second watch is passed from 9 p.m. to 12 p.m. The third watch is passed from 12 to 3 a.m. And now it is the fourth watch, somewhere between 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock in the morning. So there is an extensive and opposing force at work in the world and times in which we live, and it's relentless. They are now in the fourth watch, and there is a storm. With the apostles in the midst of the sea, this fierce storm is raging against them. Everywhere they looked, they could see the effects of the fierce storm. And so it is today. With the apostles in the midst of the sea and the storm raging against them, they were in an extremely perilous place. And so are we. And they were in a very urgent time. And so are we. But we want to look mostly today at the various characters and scenes in the story. And again, as we look at this, we must ask ourselves and we must examine ourselves, where am I in the story? Where am I in the story? First of all, there is a people struggling in their own strength to somehow get through that storm. Verse 24, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Jesus is up in the mountain. Mark 6, verse 48, and he saw them toiling, laboring, and struggling in rowing, for the wind was contrary. Amid all the commotion, these apostles were trying to survive, trying somehow to get through this storm. And they are toiling in rowing, but they are stuck in the storm. And no matter how much energy they expended, they could not get beyond that storm. In verse 25, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Verse 26, they did not recognize him. They made a supposition. It's a ghost, which filled them with even greater trouble and fear. It says that they were troubled, saying it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. From what Jesus said to them in verse 27, be of good cheer, be not afraid, they were a people filled with confusion and alarm, fear and anxiety and distress. And sadly, this is the scene where many of God's people live. That's where they live. They never get out of the storm. They're always in the storm. And if this is where you live, please know that the Christian life is more than just struggling in your own strength to somehow survive. The Christian life is more than struggling in your own strength, trying to somehow get through the storm. The Christian life is more than being filled with confusion and alarm, and fear, and anxiety and distress. Living life based upon a supposition. That's what they were doing there. It was bad enough that they were in a storm, but then they supposed something. A lot of God's people live in the land of supposition. I mean, that's their address. That's where they live. Constantly supposing things. And what they suppose, they're usually not supposing good things, fills them with fear and anxiety. But God has called us to something far greater. If you are stuck today in the storm, God has called you to something far, far greater. There's another level. You don't have to live in the storm. You don't have to live in the land of supposition. I mean, there are people who live their lives supposing that so-and-so is thinking such-and-such. I mean, that's how they live. Well, he's thinking that. And you know that how? They live in the land of supposition. There is also one, secondly, who pleads for something more. In verse 27, Jesus spake unto them, all the apostles that were in that boat. And notice verse 28. And Peter answered him. Now some have said Peter was speaking for all the rest. Well, Peter did that often, but that's not what he's doing here. And Peter answered him. He did not wait for anyone else. How do you know he's not speaking for the rest? And said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me. Not bid us, but bid me. Come unto thee on the water. So Peter, stuck in that storm, living in the land of supposition, struggling to survive, struggling somehow to get through the storm, now has a desire to move to a different level. If you're in the storm today, if you're living in the land of supposition, if you're struggling just to get through somehow, just trying to survive, don't you want to go to another level? Don't you want to rise above that level? That's where Peter is at this point. Notice he desired the assurance of Christ's presence. He said, if, verse 28, if it be thou. He could see that figure out on the water. He has heard the voice. It is I. And Peter says, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee. Here's his mindset. Never mind the boat. Never mind the storm. Never mind the wind. Never mind everybody else that's on this boat. None of that really matters. If that is Jesus out there in the water, I want to be there. That's the mindset of Peter at this moment. If it be thou, bid me to come unto thee. His desire is Christ. We need to get this firmly established. His desire is not first to walk on the water. His desire is Christ. If it be thou. That's how you get out of just struggling to get through. Just trying to survive. My heart breaks as I look at God's people, and most of them are in this position where they are just struggling to somehow survive. That's not what God has called us to. Peter, the way you get out of that position is you have to have a desire for something more. And in this case, the desire is Christ. Jesus Christ was the motivation. Christ is out there in the water. And that is my motivation to step out of this boat and head in that direction. Christ is his desire. So Peter could see this figure walking on the water. And he cried, Lord, if it be thou, Lord, I got to know if it's you. If it be thou, bid me come unto thee. Come unto thee. That's his desire, to come unto Christ on the water. Doesn't say in the water. It says on the water. He desires to move beyond the boat. Why? To get closer to Christ. That's his motivation. That's his desire. When he is requesting, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. He's requesting something extreme. The Christian life is extreme. It's radical. His desire was Christ, and he was willing to do something radical or extreme, to step out of the boat and venture under the water. Why was he willing to do that? To be where Jesus is. Bid me come unto thee. That's his desire. His desire is so strong for Christ that he can now no longer be satisfied with just surviving the storm, with just struggling to get through the storm. If you are here today and you are just, that is your life, you are just struggling to somehow survive the storm, living in the land of supposition, you need a stronger desire for Jesus Christ. One that will motivate you to step out of the boat. Again, we need to ask and examine ourselves. Is this us in the story? Peter's desire. Do we have a desire to move beyond struggling to spiritually survive? Do we have a desire for something more, to be where Jesus is? Is that us? I just want to be where Jesus is. Doesn't matter where it is. If it's out on the water, doesn't matter. I just want to be where Jesus is. That was Peter's attitude here. Is that us? Are we willing to go to the extreme to be where Jesus is? Peter was. He said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come unto thee on the water. That's extreme. The storm is still raging. Are we willing to step out of where we are, wherever that is, to be where Jesus is? Is this us in the story? Thirdly, still speaking of Peter, there is one who moves in the direction of Christ. Again, verse 28, Peter is saying, if I should take this step out of the boat, I need to know only one thing. Is that Jesus? That's all I need to know. That's what he's saying here in verse 28. To step out of this boat, I only need to know one thing. Is Jesus in it? That's true of you and I today. That's all we need to know. Is the Lord in it? Is the Lord in it? Peter did not enter into a discussion with Christ. Lord, if it be you, explain to me how I'm going to... I want to come unto you, Lord. But Lord, how am I going to do that? Explain to me all the details. No, all Peter needed to know, that's Jesus out there. And he took the step. That's all he needed. That's all you and I need. He said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come on the water. What he's saying is, if I can do this, if I can step out of the boat unto the water, I need to know only one thing. Is Jesus in it? Notice verse 29. And he said, come. Now with that word, keep in mind the question. If it be thou, bid me to come. Jesus said, it is I. So when Jesus answered Peter's question and said, come, he was not just simply telling Peter, come. He was saying what? It is I. It is I. And since it is I, come. You can do this, Peter. It is I. Notice verse 29, and he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water too. That's his purpose. Remember, his desire is Christ. To go to Jesus. This is not the story of a man who foolishly and impulsively leaped off the side of the boat into the raging waters. It is the story of a man who sought Christ, waited the Lord's orders, received the Lord's orders, and on the basis of that, Peter was come down out of the ship. The winds are blowing at a gale force. The waves are crashing into the boat, and Peter, knowing that the Lord would have him come, he placed his foot of humanity on the wave. He didn't place that foot in the water, but on the water. Big difference. When he stepped out of that boat, it wasn't sink down. It was on the water. On the water. He's received the directive from the Lord. He placed his foot out of that boat on the water, and he did not sink. It says he walked on the water. He was not frantically splashing in the water, nor was he swimming in the water. But he walked on the water. Peter has moved beyond the boat. There's another level. Peter has moved beyond the boat to an absolutely matchless experience. He walked on the water. He has now moved beyond the boat to doing what he cannot do. You can't walk on water. But he's doing it. He has moved beyond the boat to doing what he cannot do. That can be us. Is that us in the picture? He has moved beyond the boat to doing the impossible. Again, he walked on the water. He has moved beyond the boat to the level of the supernatural. He is now living in the level of the supernatural. He walked on the water. He has moved beyond the boat to doing what Jesus is doing. Jesus was walking on the water, and Peter is walking on the water. He's doing what Christ is doing. Is that not what God has called us to do? All we need to know is that Him? Is that Him out there? Peter has moved beyond the boat to something absolutely glorious. He is walking on the water. But notice, he's not walking in circles. He is moving in the direction of Jesus. It says he walked on the water to go to Jesus. He could see that figure. How far out the figure was from the boat, we don't know. But imagine what Peter felt while he was walking on the water. I want to tell you something. He felt something different than he did back in the boat. He felt something different than the apostles who were still sitting in the boat. There's a different feeling in Peter. He has moved to an entirely different level. And all the joy that was his at this time. There was one time I wished so bad that I could, I'm just throwing this in, walk on water. Church member in Streamwood called me and said, "Can you come over?" I said, "Well, what's the matter?" "Nothing's wrong. I just want you to come over. I want to see if you can walk on water in my swimming pool." I said, "What are you talking about?" "Well, everybody thinks you're perfect, so I just want to see if you can do it." And if I could have thought of a way, what a time that would have been. But all the joy that was Peter's at this time. It's one thing to hear about the supernatural and the miraculous and the blessings of God, but unless you are experiencing it for yourself, you're missing out. You're missing out. And the only thing you need to know is Jesus in it. That's all you need to know. And if he is, then take that step toward him. And I guarantee you today that Jesus is in you and I, moving from the place of merely struggling in our own strength, trying to survive and get through this life. He's in you and I moving beyond that place. He's in you and I moving beyond the place of confusion and alarm and distress. Again, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. So we need to ask and examine ourselves, is this us in the story? It begins with the desire for Christ. That's where it begins. You've got to get to that level first. And then you can go to this level. Fourthly, there are those who were content to stay in the boat. In verse 27, Jesus spake unto them. Peter was the only one who cried out and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water." And as Peter was speaking those words, I'm sure he received some strange looks. I'm sure there was some head wagging. And I'm sure there were some who thought, there's Peter again, he's got his mouth open. Always got to be saying something. And when Jesus said, "Come," and Peter took that first step over the side of the boat, I can hear him saying, "Peter, are you crazy? What in the world's wrong with you, Peter? Peter, have you lost your mind? Peter, don't. You can hear it all. But no doubt they watched in amazement as he stepped out and he didn't sink, but he's standing on the water. And they watched in amazement as he walked on the water. Why didn't they all jump out at that moment? Because they were content where they were. They were content to merely watch and observe. There are a lot of people who live there too. And then, when they saw him begin to go under, As he's walking on the water, "You go, Peter! Wow, Peter's great! Look at him!" He begins to sink. "I knew he wouldn't make it! He's crazy! He should have stayed in the boat with the rest of us." Many people live there. All they're going to do is observe. "Oh, Peter, you shouldn't have done that. You should have done this." A lot of folks live there, but they never get out of the boat. Some probably with a tone of panic as Peter began to sink. "Oh no, he's drowning! He's drowning!" But once again, many are like those who remained in the boat. They are content to watch others walk toward Jesus and experience the miraculous while they remain in the boat. So we need to ask and examine ourselves, is this us in the story? If this is us today, God has called you to something greater than just being an observer. God has called you to something greater than just being an observer and giving your opinion. There is another level. There is another level. Brings us fifthly, there's this one who's sinking, which of course is Peter. We do not know how far Peter walked on the water. But coming to verse 30, but he's walking on the water to go to Jesus, but there's an interruption in his amazing walk. But when he saw the wind boisterous, wild and unrestrained, he was afraid. You know what he's relapsed into? Verse 26. He's relapsed back into verse 26. And beginning to sink. The reason that he began to sink was not that the intensity of the storm had increased. The reason he sank was him. He's the reason. There was a shift in his focus when he saw the wind boisterous. We see the cause of the interruption at the point of Christ's reprimand, verse 31. "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Peter was becoming submerged and engulfed, beginning to descend into the chaotic and destructive waters of the Sea of Galilee. Why? Because he shifted his focus from Christ to the water and the wind. Peter was not sinking because of the wind and the water. That's not why he was sinking. He was sinking because of a wrong focus. He was sinking because of a lack of faith. Peter was not sinking because of the wind and the water. He was sinking because of unbelief. Now, if many were telling the story today, may I say Peter was not sinking because of the others in the boat. He didn't look back and say, "This is your fault. You shouldn't have let me step out of the boat. You know I'm crazy." That's how many tell the story today. "I'm sinking, but it's their fault." No, it's your fault. And you'll never get beyond until you realize it's my fault. Wasn't anyone in the boat. And I'll tell you another reason. He didn't sink because he stepped out in faith. That's not why he sank. He didn't sink because he obeyed God. How many times you've heard people say, "Well, I obeyed God and this is what happened." Peter obeyed God, he sank. But he didn't sink because he obeyed God. He sank because he got his eyes off of God. He didn't sink because he took a step of faith. He sank because he got his eyes off of God. Peter was sinking. And sadly, this is where many of God's people live today. Sinking. Becoming submerged and engulfed in the drowning waters of the world and the times in which we live. How many of God's people, right at this very moment, are sinking in the ways and the thinking and the goals and the pursuits and the priorities of the world and the times in which we live? And as a result, they are sinking into the ruin and devastation of such, and living lives of anguish and defeat. And the reason that you're sinking is not the wind. The reason that you're sinking is not the waves of the world. The reason you're sinking is not the people back in the boat. The reason you're sinking is not health problems or family problems or financial problems. The reason you're sinking is a lack of faith. You've got your eyes on the wrong thing. That's why he sank. And that's why you and I sink. So Peter was sinking. We need to ask ourselves and examine ourselves, is this us in the story? Don't you believe that God has called us to something greater than sinking? God has not called you and I to sink into this world and the times in which we live. He's called us to something far greater than that. There's another level. We don't have to live in the sinking times. Yes, there are going to be times when you and I are going to sink for the same reason he sank. Because we get our eyes off the Lord. But we don't have to stay there. We don't have to stay there. And this was a sad experience that Peter sank. But glory to God, it wasn't the final one. The story doesn't end there. That's not where the story ends. Is that where you want your story to end? Sinking? It doesn't have to end there. We see, notice verse 30, he cried, "Lord, save me." He didn't cry to the ones in the boat. They couldn't save him. He didn't say, "Oh, what have I done? Oh, how stupid I was." He cried, "Lord, save me. Lord, save me." So what has happened? There is a shift of focus back to the Lord. Back to the Lord. Notice verse 31. And immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand. Immediately, that's a prompt reach. And caught him. That's a powerful rescue. What did the Lord do? He reached to where Peter was. Be glad today that wherever you are, the Lord can reach to where you are. He reached to where Peter was. Peter was sinking into the Sea of Galilee. And if this is you today in the story, you need to know this. Jesus is able to grab us where we are. So we don't have to keep sinking. He's able. Cry out to him today. Cry out to him today, "Lord, save me. Save me." God has called you and I to something greater than sinking in the depths of the world and the times in which we live. Cry out to him, "Lord, save me." You don't have to sink to the bottom. There's another level. I'm sorry, but you'll never convince me that it is your call in life to to sink all the time. You'll never convince me of that. God saved your soul. He called you to something far greater than sinking. Well, this is just my life, Brother Dan. And whose fault is that? Whose fault is that? Cry out to Him to save you. Sixthly and lastly, there was one walking with the Lord. He's walking with the Lord. Verse 32, and when they were come, Who's the they? Peter and Christ. They're walking together. Peter was sinking, but he cried out to the Lord. The Lord, with an outstretched and powerful hand, the Lord got hold of him and placed him back on the water. Only God can do that. You might be sinking, but I'm here to tell you today that Jesus Christ is able to reach you in your sinking moment. And He is not only able to reach you, He is able to grab hold of you and set you back on the water. Set you in a higher level. Only the Lord can do that. You can sink and you can splash around and try to save yourself and you'll just sink further and further and further. There's a quicker way. Lord, save me. Lord, save me. So He placed him back in the waves and he walked on the water. But again, this time with Jesus. And where did Jesus take him? Back to the boat. Back to the boat. That blesses me. The boat, we can view it in this way at this point of the message. The boat is the commonplace. It's the everyday. And if you walk with Jesus on the water, that's an amazing walk. And I want to tell you, the commonplace and the everyday become special. Because notice, verse 33, verse 32, and when they were come into the boat, the wind ceased. So up to this point, the wind was still blowing. Waves were still raging. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him. Not Peter. Way to go, Peter! I knew you could do it, Peter! You're a hero, Peter! No, they were worshiping Christ. You want to worship Christ in the everyday affairs of life? Walk with Him on the water. That's how you do that. That's how the common becomes the supernatural. So they worshiped Him, saying, of a truth, Thou art the Son of God. Oh, what a life that God has for us. Where are we in this story? Each one of us needs to examine our own selves, examine our own hearts and our lives. Where are we in the story? Now, do you believe that as Peter is walking with Christ on the water, do you believe he's walking like this? Oh, woe's me, woe's me. I don't think so. I think he's, glory to God! Glory to God! He's giving the Lord all the praise and all the glory. I'm sorry. If this is you, you're not walking on the water. You can lie all you want to, but it's not so. You're not walking on the water with Jesus. Because to do so will fill your heart with joy, will fill your heart with gladness, will fill your heart with thankfulness. And do you think after Peter sank and the Lord rescued him, do you think Peter was walking with his head high? Look at me! Look at me! Oh, look at me! Look what I'm doing! Oh, I don't think so. He knew that the only reason he was walking on that water was him. He knew that. And when someone is living in pride, you can lie all you want to. I'm walking with Jesus on the water. No, you're not. No, you're not. Quit telling yourself that. It's not so. Everything changes when we walk on the water with Jesus. That's what He's called us to do. This world and the times in which we live are pictured by that water. But we can walk on the water with Jesus. We don't have to sink. God has called us to something greater. Look to Him today. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse of song.